Jy luister na RSG Geldsaake met Moneyweb Potgoe met gasheer Ryk van die Kerk.
Die betaaltelevisie groep MultiChoice is die grootste Suid-Afrikaanse vermaaklikheidsgroep en lewer dienste in 50 lande suid van die Sahara. Die bekendste handelsname is DStv, Showmax, Mnet, Supersport en GoTV in Nigeria. Die groep het vandag winssyfers vir sy boekjaar tot einde maart aangekondig. Die omset was 9% laer op 51 miljard rand. Dan, ek gebruik altyd maatskappye se wesensverdienste as die aanwyser van die wins of verliese van die betrokke maatskappye. Nou, MultiChoice het nie minder nie as 5 verskillende wesensverdienstes in sy state. Nou, dit is die wesensverdienste, kernwesensverdienste, aangepaste kernwesensverdienste, basiese wesensverdienste en dan ook verwaterde wesensverdienste. Die groep sê die aangepaste kernwesensverdienste weerspieel die finansiële posisie van die maatskappy die akkuraatste en dit was 'n aangepaste kernwesensverlies van 800 miljoen rand in die boekjaar en in die vorige boekjaar was dit 'n aangepaste kernwesensverdienste of wins van 1,3 miljard rand. Tim Jacobs is die finansiële hoof. Tim, thank you so much for your time. Now, you have released a very complicated set of statements. How would you describe the financial performance to shareholders and other stakeholders who are not CAs?
Your observation is 100% correct. We do have a fairly complicated set of numbers. Let me maybe start by saying the following. I think our biggest challenge across the group this year has been in the linear businesses. We've seen a very soft consumer market. Affordability has been massively challenging. We've seen high levels of interest rates, high levels of inflation, and very difficult consumer trading conditions, consumer affordability in particular, across many of our markets. And that has meant that our subscriber numbers have been significantly lower this year than it was last year. On the positive side with the subscriber trends is that at least in the rest of Africa where we effectively declined 8% year on year, what we did see there was that the half year subscriber numbers were down to 7.5 million subs. And that number was stable for the rest of the second half of the year. So we actually closed the year out on the same number. Now, obviously, when you've got volume pressure on your top line, that translates into reduced profitability for the rest of the group. What we did in order to combat that was we were very disciplined on our cost side of our business, able to deliver 3.7 billion rands of recurring cost savings. And if I just think about how that translates into our numbers, the way we like to describe it is as follows. We had trading profit in financial year 24 of 7.9 billion rands. If we take our price increases and our cost efficiencies, this added 1.6 billion rands of incremental profit to our core businesses, excluding Showmax. And that meant that our trading profit actually increased by 20% to 9.5 billion rands. We then had to invest in our OTT Showmax business to create capacity for future growth and to match where the consumer trends are traveling, which is to move away from linear businesses over time and more to OTT type consumption. And that additional 2.3 billion rands that we invested in Showmax this year meant trading profit declined 9% to 7.2 billion. And then we are still suffering from the effects of all those material African currencies that depreciated last year. A lot of them, like Nigeria, only happened in the very back end of the year. And this year we've had to have effectively 10 months of like-for-like comparison being very much weaker than last year. And that meant that we had to incur another 3 billion rands of foreign exchange impact in trading profit. And that resulted in the big drop to 4 billion rand trading profit for the year as reported.
It is a challenging market for you because you pay for content, I would imagine, in dollars. And then the revenue you receive would be in local currencies. And if there's a devaluation of the currency, obviously the whole financial model changes. But why do you think subscriber numbers continue to fall 8% to 14.5 million during the period? Why do you think it's the case?
So let's break this down by a couple of markets because there are three primary drivers of the decrease in subscribers. The first one is South Africa, and we saw a decrease in subscribers across each of the tiers. We're finding that the reality is that the subscriber numbers in the rest of Africa are impacted by one in the middle market interest rates and interest rates and basic affordability. Fuel prices have gone up and have stayed very, very high. Inflationary increases on wages kind of have been in low single digits for some time now. So a lot of the input costs into people's take-home pay at home have been absorbed by interest rates, they've been absorbed by fuel costs, they've been absorbed by high levels of food inflation. Also, power. Power has been increasing 15 to 20% per year. And these are incremental costs that are not fully reflected in inflation rates, which is what people are getting as an increase in their wages. So there's always this lag effect, and the consumer is under massive pressure at the moment. And we've seen that across the board in South Africa. If you go into markets like Nigeria, inflation is running at 35%. The central bank last year recalculated the way that it's calculated, dropped it to 25%. It doesn't really make a difference to the consumer on the ground. They removed fuel subsidy in the market, which added a massive amount of pressure onto their spending power. The national electricity grid collapsed 12 times during the course of 2024. So you've got a significant amount of pressure. And then, of course, in Zambia, you've got massive load shedding because of the hydropower problem. They were sitting at an average of like 20 hours a day of no power during the course of the last financial year.
So there are various reasons, but can't you just take it back? Maybe it's too expensive and there are many cheaper alternatives.
There are cheaper alternatives. There's no doubt about that. I think the difference is that you're not comparing like with like. Those other alternatives typically do not have sport, which is a very big part of the cost component. They also don't have as extensive a local library of content. They tend to be recycled international content that is basically used in all of the markets. And the alternatives, fortunately, if you look at a like-for-like comparison worldwide, we are one of the cheapest services. But for local customers, we recognize that we are at the upper end of the affordability scale.
Would you ever consider pay-per-view for sports?
Pay-per-view per sport is kind of untested in our markets. It's something that consumers have started to expect, certainly on the premium side of our base. They would expect to get that for free as part of the service. And generally speaking, when we've had big ticket sporting events, we try to include those in the package. We are looking at different models. I mean, right now, if, for example, you can get DStv Stream at a discount to our linear packages if you bought them on the satellite service. So we are trying to reduce affordability, but again, it also requires data prices and connectivity to be a little bit more advanced than where it is at the moment in order to make that kind of mass appeal. But we are seeing some very strong growth numbers coming out of our streaming service as people do turn more and more towards those type of cheaper options.
You've reported savings of 1.9 billion in your 2024 financial year. And in the most recent one, the 2025 financial year, you've saved 3.7 billion. And I see you also want to save another 2 billion rand in the new financial year. Now, those are substantial savings or cost cutting. Now, either there must be a lot of fat in the business or you are cutting costs to the absolute bare bone, which could affect efficiencies. So what type of costs are you taking out of the business? People, infrastructure, programming?
It's an interesting question. In the last year, 42% of that 3.7 billion rand came from content. 14% came from subsidies. So that represented, let's call it, almost just under 60%. The other 40% came across the board. So this is driving efficiencies through almost every area of the business. What it did not include was material saving, for example, in satellites. We've renegotiated the first reduction in satellite volumes and pricing. That will start flowing through in the 26th financial year. The South African satellite contracts, the next one comes up towards the end of 2027. So that'll give us another opportunity to apply compression technology and remove big volumes. So we have a number of areas that we're still focusing on, and cost efficiencies. Every time you remove another layer of cost out of your business, you then start looking at what's left. You look at what activity you have in the business. It's a very disciplined approach. We are very conscious of potentially cutting too deep and starting to get into the area where we either can't or impact the customer experience. So most of the activity that we're doing in the business, we try to make sure that it stays far away from impacting on negatively on customer experience. And in fact, our CEO of the South African business, he's reintroduced, for example, two additional streams in a subscription. That is a value proposition to help offset the cost of the package, add additional value. They're looking at the content lineup very carefully. We always make sure that we have the best sporting lineup. General entertainment is also very, very important. So we try to make sure that where we do cut costs, it impacts the value chain outside of what the consumer experiences.
Ons sal daarmee moet los. Dankie Tim. Dit was Tim Jacobs, die finansiële hoof van MultiChoice.
Jy het geluister na RSG Geldsaake met Moneyweb Potgoede elke weeksdag om 7 na middag. Vir meer Moneyweb Potgoede, besoek moneyweb.co.za of laai die toepassing af en volg Moneyweb News om dagliks op hoogte te bly.